Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello.
Hello.
Wait, that was pretty clean.
She's well, you a know bitch. What? She's a bitch, but we have her with us today.
It's winner of season two of Dragula, the Dragula of season two, and
title
now
holder
siblings
of
with the new Dragula winner.
Title holder of Dragula.
Dragula.
Bitch Puddin' is with us on the pod today.
And it's the grand finale of Dragula and Spooky Seconds. No more Dragula recaps!
This is our final episode of 2022.
Of 2021.
That's correct. All right. I'm Psycho. I hope you enjoyed watching the finale, and congratulations to our winner that we'll tell you at the end of the show.
It's Dolly. Goodbye.
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us. Sloppy Seconds.
Oh, Diva. Hello,
oh, Fuglies. We are your
goulash ghouls.
And welcome to the grand finale. It's the grand finale.
The grand finale.
Thank you. We're very excited. This has been quite the journey, and we are very excited to be here because we have an icon and a legend, the creator of digital drag, the stream queen herself. We are joined by the winner of season two. That's correct. Season two of Dragula. It's Bitch Puddin'.
Hello. Emmy nominated too. You know, we're out here doing multiple things.
Hi, oh, Emmy nominated. Emmy nominated for Eastsiders, right?
Yeah. Eastsiders. Wow.
I got nominated for makeup. Who knew?
Well, your mug is always
Mug is always flawless.
You see how her inflection went higher?
Yep, what do you mean?
She's a liar.
It's always flawless.
Your mug is always flawless.
Hi, and good morning. And you have glitters.
I do got
what
glitters.
Else you got
Slay
going
Slay Fire Cosmetics. I got
merch.
Merch. I suck dick. You know, I'm very versatile.
We're Worship good. We'll the devil. Oh,
no, right. You're a bottom.
Yeah, she sucks dick.
She said she was verse.
I do all top. Right. Why do people find that shocking? I don't understand.
To top?
Yeah.
To top or not to top?
I'm versatile. I'm ready for any situation because I'm the course of a whore.
Well, okay. Speaking of tops, we got a top four this week,
wow,
and I am excited
very
to
good
get
in transition. Meatball, what happened last week?
We had a wonderful time at Fat Slut. Oh, last week, we had our Last Supper episode with our incredible guest, Kendra Onyx. Everyone wants her to come back.
Kendra Slade on the pod.
Kendra was really great.
She was really good. We saw the return of all the monsters and lots of chitty chatties while they were chit-chatting at the little table. But nothing revolutionary happened.
Well, we watched Coco Kane win.
That's right. We did watch,
yeah, watch Coco Kane win.
See Coco,
Coco Kane,
Kane
won season four.
It was, yeah, the Coco Kane Super Soul Sunday. Yeah. She, yeah, literally was like, can I tell you exactly what's happened here? And just laid it all out on the table like a wise sage
drag queen. She
did such
a good job.
Damn.
Big old titties.
Bitch, icon legend. Right.
She's the one for you, huh, bitch?
I've been horny over her drag for like years now to see it like on the show and like her do well and then like be brought back in such a positive light. Fucking chef's kiss. I love you, Coco Kane.
We stand, Coco Kane.
Well, you
in
know
this
whose
house.
Drag I'm horny for.
Ooh.
It's Dolly.
D,
it's Dolly.
Yeah, but the thing is, Meatball. What? Well, we'll get to it. And so the big thing that we learned last week is that it's not going to be a top three, but it is going to be a final four. And this is the first time that they've done this, correct?
First time.
Yes.
Well, This week's episode starts with some BTS footage, some very moody B-roll.
Oh my goodness.
They showed the boudoir for a while, then they showed all the monsters walking around LA in their like day wear.
The drama.
Sigourney, they really gave that styrofoam cup like a lot of love. She was sitting there drinking from a styrofoam cup,
oh,
and there was
yeah.
like a
I was
full
like,
close-up.
Is she just drinking a big old Diet Coke? Like, what is she drinking in there?
Single-use styrofoam, Sigourney? We need answers.
I need answers. I thought that was so funny that they were walking all over like LA landmarks.
But
like,
also Sigourney
was
went
to the museum, the LACMA.
Yeah, they went to LACMA. And Sigourney
at, like,
was in
Disney...
closed down Santee.
Yeah.
Just running her hands on the closed gates.
Oh God, that's a way to get Delta very fast.
Omarion, honey.
Oh, Omarion. We're just getting all boys in.
Saint likes trains. Saint was
yeah,
at the
Saint
train yard.
By the train station. Dolly by the Ferris wheel. Was that at Santa Monica? Yes, it was. It was at Santa Monica. They really drove these girls all over town. Maybe they were running errands and also taking some video. It was a
thought it was cool just to see them outside of the space. I know a lot of stuff's been weird because of Covina, and they couldn't do like more location shoots, and that's like a huge part of Dragula that I really love. So, to me, it was just nice to see them outside. That's why I like the clown episode so much, because I was like, we got to see them outside twice.
Yes.
You know? Like, right. The guy's like, they're outside! Yay!
Yes. Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah. I had a little theory, but I think it's a shady theory, but I will say it. Do you think that they...
You know, we don't do shade here.
No shade here! Do you think that they had promised to use this song? Because it was the full song in this montage that they had like promised someone they were going to use the song, and they didn't use it for a lip sync, and it didn't fit anywhere else. So they were like, "We'll just do some montage B-roll
of the
song."
I don't know.
But know what I'm going to say, and I normally would be happy that there was no Boulay skits or scats, but this was the final episode, and they started the season with that like.
It was
that
long.
Whole scene
I wanted
about
it.
The two
I wanted
witches coming out of the
it.
Woods.
Yeah, I wanted a closer.
Like,
about
why not
that.
Bring that to the end and bring the whole thing full circle? But instead, we got like a bunch of like weird, moody '90s shots.
The top four could have discovered the Halloween masks like out while they were traveling
well,
in
not
LA.
That skit. I meant the historical one where they were like floating and
yeah, but that was part of
that
the Halloween
was part
masks.
Of that. It was part of that.
Yeah, that was the end. Yeah. But yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would have been cool to have, like, a button on, like, I do love things that kind of, like, loop
Hell
back
yeah.
to the beginning. Yeah.
Okay, well, so they're in the boudoir. Mm-hmm. Spoilers. Well, I don't know. Did you notice that when they highlighted all of the final people, the last person they showed with the longest moment of screen time and smiling at the camera was Dolly?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't notice that.
Oh, yeah, diva. So in the boudoir, why do they always make everybody carry things into the boudoir?
Because they're bringing it from downstairs where they're actually getting ready.
I know. They're getting ready in that space. I'm 95% sure.
Well, they always show
because
the
reaction shots of like when the host doesn't have makeup wipes, they always cut back to that. Like they cut back to that. There's not another space they're cutting back to.
Not
like
you,
they're getting
not
ready.
You,
there.
Not you gaslighting or furthering that fake narrative of Hoso never having makeup.
I'm just saying, or like you spread that those lies and conjecture.
Girl, if they had it on 7 different takes, it's on camera, baby. It's okay. Think... Maybe she gets a makeup wipe brand out of it. You know, maybe she'll work it.
Oh
something.
Yeah.
Do you have makeup like, wipes? Makeup wipes by Hoso. You know, like, do it.
Oh, yeah. Hoes never
get cold. But you know who does? Sigourney. And she must have been cold a couple of times when she was doing the most extermination challenges. How was that for a second?
Wait, what the?
Meatball's just really trying to transition all these facts into the notes.
I'm really trying today. I'm working on my segues, bitch.
Okay. I'm really liking them. I'm really liking them. Like,
how do you feel about this fact?
Sigourney doing the most and getting to the end. I think the extermination challenges this season have been interesting because, like, to me, I don't know if it's because how they were shot or how they were edited, but like, it was hard for me. Like, Erica was such a character on my season 2, because she competed and showed her expertise in the extermination challenges. And I like what Sigourney was saying about, like, I proved myself in them. But for me, I didn't, like, really, honestly, I think she deserved to be in the top four, but I didn't really dive into the extermination challenge as much as I have in the past, just because, like, you couldn't tell which one actually did better or how, like, you know, it was like roaches are getting poured on you, like, but maybe if they're asking questions on, like, how that was, like, pertaining why you should stay, and they were arguing instead of just like, oh, roaches are on me, I'm scared, you know, like,
yeah,
like, there's just not a clear winner, yeah, in my opinion, and they could, like, edit it in which way, when I think in the past it's been more of a fight to see who stays.
We talked about this a little bit in, like, the floor show presentations. Mm-hmm. When they're edited together, that's what makes the show unique, that they're edited in an artistic and creative way with, like, cool slow motion shots. But sometimes when you see other things, the way that the other shows, when everyone gets a wide shot to walk and do a thing, you can sort of compare a little easier. Yeah. And so I think it is clear that, you know, it's clear from this whole episode, the Boulets are making the decision they're going to make. They're, yeah, in charge of the show. They create the aesthetic. So it's less about watching the actual competition and more about enjoying the show, and, like, because we can never tell. We have no idea what actually happened in any of those exterminations.
I know. That's the thing. I think, like, I'm okay with the floor show being artistically presented that way. I think the extermination challenges should be presented in a more real way, because they're
GoPros
facing fears.
Wide, yeah, shot, like, GoPros, yeah. Let's see how it plays
they
out.
They got season 5, so the budget's going up. So Fear Factor, here we go. Like, I, yes, think season, honey, 5, I'd be terrified to compete, because that's when they're going to
bring Joe Rogan back. You know, yeah, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's bring Joe Rogan into the conversation.
Wow, we should have Joe Rogan on our podcast, because we are basically a QAnon podcast.
Yeah.
I'm screaming.
He said yes. The scheduling was just the issue, though.
Yeah. But again, just going back quickly to what Sigourney was saying, I was like, yeah, I guess in your mind you could be like, I've proven myself because I've been in the bottom the most. But also, in a way, it's like, you also were in the bottom the most. Like, that's, ooh, not something new. What?
I said, ooh.
Anyway, Dolly is incredibly emotional. Again, something about watching Dolly cry gets me hard.
Oh, my God.
They are grateful because it's surprising that they were allowed to make it this far after previous chances in the competition. And then they go into the long thing about how Dolly left and dropped out and then came back and then was sad.
Which I was there for, and that was such a gag, because we were assuming Abora or Erica were going home, and we were sitting downstairs for hours, and we're like, what's going on? And we, like, found out it was Dolly, because, like, Abora and Erica came down to pick out wigs for the next challenge, and we both were, all of us, like, me, Vicky, and James were like, what the fuck happened? Like, we're so confused on, like, how that played out.
And what did happen for those of us who watched,
what did,
but maybe
Dolly
don't
do?
Have it right in, so, our memory. Dolly felt overwhelmed and chose to leave.
No, it was an eating challenge, and honestly, I think it was one of the most disgusting things the show's done. Like, it was like fucking uncooked seafood, and, like, it was slimy and really spicy. It just was disgusting. Like, you could smell it if you were in the room.
Got it.
And, like, I think that's harder than the blood and the raw meat in a way, because it's just, like, that fishy smell can kind of really fuck with you. And, like, Dolly does not do spicy shit. So, like, when it was, when she found out it was spicy and, like, all that stuff, she was just like, this is honestly a challenge. Like, I think it was just a perfect storm. It was just the exterminations that got you, gal. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's how I think it happened. I think there was personal stuff too, but I don't want to dive into that, because I don't know how much she shared about that. But yeah,
right,
there was something else going on too. But yeah, like, honestly, I think it was just, like, the worst day possible, yeah, for them.
Yeah.
And Hoso is, honey, when you talk about galvanized and motivated, she came in there and gave a mission statement and a speech about, this is the pinnacle, this is the moment, she's going to do her best and ultimate drag. She was very much, like,
I
campaigning
that.
In that,
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, she campaigned. She used, yeah, every opportunity in this finale, and I really appreciate that.
So what smart for such a young little baby.
Let's take a little breaky, and then we'll be right
black.
Back.
What? Back.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including categories like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, or Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. I was so thrilled when Factor sent us meals to try out. I'm normally very skeptical of prepackaged meals, especially ones you heat in the microwave, but I gotta tell you, they have changed the game. I mean, this is fresh food because it is not frozen. The flavor is outstanding. These are like well put together meals, and the protein, the chicken cutlet, I was convinced it was not gonna be enough. That is a hearty, thick slice of chicken breast. Like, there is plenty of food in each Factor meal, and I think this is like an absolute awesome way if you're looking to make a shift, or if you're just looking for some ease in how you prepare your food or how you have lunch on the go. Factor's got it covered. Get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready to eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring, or just get back to working all the time, because that's what I do. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need delivered right to you. Plus, you can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long, so look out for their Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. That's cool. Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. And that's the numbers 50, not the word spelled out. That's code sloppyseconds50 at factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts, and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
And we're back.
Because it's scary.
Whoa. All right, well, now this episode just keeps it pumping, Fish. They keep it moving, because next thing you know, it's time for the video message.
Keeps it pumping, uncooked spicy seafood. Sorry, keep going.
Our finalists, you have all okay, we'll start over. This is the video message from the Hoolites.
I'm sorry,
I'm so tired. Our finalists, you have fought well, and you have earned the highest honor, the final challenge. Three distinct looks and three distinct floor shows for filth, horror, and glamour.
You have to create their ultimate.
They always say they have to create it, but we know damn full well they're all buying these things. And then they have to inject each look.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I know Hoso's making their own.
People do make their own shit. Dali makes everything.
Dolly looked so good.
All right. Let's just say what it was. They have to create an ultimate floor show, inject each look with who they are as a drag icon. They said who you are as a drag icon, which I thought was very cool, because they're acknowledging that at this point, being in the top four, it's like everybody's going to know them. For glamour, they have to design and choreograph a lip sync to Change the Paradigm by Austra.
Never heard of it.
In addition to those other floor show moments, they will also join the Boulé brothers on their hit podcast show, which, should we start calling our show a podcast show or just a podcast? Because they kept saying podcast show.
Well, they called it a hit.
Okay, don't do that. Their hit podcast show, Creatures of the Night, for which they'll do an episode of. And then the Boulets sign off from the video message. And this I loved. They were like, we want to give you the blessing of filth, the freedom of drag, the power of glamour, and the terror of horror. Mm-hmm. That's that like a nice. Lovely, yeah. like branded blessing.
Yeah.
Branded blessing.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And then it's time for the Creatures of the Night podcast show.
But this is, I want to ask, this is always the final challenge, is to do the tenets of Dragon.
Oh,
yes. That's the, yes.
No, the laptop lunch is not.
The laptop lunch, they didn't eat anything.
I called it a laptop lunch. Yeah, because on the other show, it's called the Tic Tac lunch.
Yeah, but they didn't eat anything. Laptop lunch
because there's three laptops there.
This was a podcast show.
What did they need those laptops for?
Their questions. They were obviously reading the questions. They had notes. We're looking at notes, too. You drag unnecessarily, Meatball.
What do you mean?
You do.
I lived for the gothic Apple store of it all. I really did live for it.
They're,
The bobs were the moment. I lived for the business bob. We gotta get shit done.
It's the bob. I came with the bob. Their laptop cases were incredible. Yeah,
they had
the
ones that are meant for like high impact.
But did you notice that Ian was raw donging it without a case?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's Ian.
So, I wish that put like a Boulet Brothers Dragula sticker over each one, though, just to kind of keep it in.
Oh, keep round. It in like the fake world. Yeah.
I saw on
world.
Twitter that Apple won't allow villains to use their products in TV shows.
It's true. It's true. It's true.
Something tells me that
that's how,
next
that's
season
how
they're going to be on a couple of HPs. You
that's
know
how
I mean?
Honestly they peg villains in movies, especially like Marvel films. Like if they see like a hero using a droid, they're like, well,
she's a villain.
They're evil. Yeah.
Oh my God. That is so
maybe
obvious.
They are good deep down. They can use Apple products. I don't know.
I will say the interviews were real cute. They had a lot of personality.
They
really liked it.
So
they were so
comfortable
loose.
And in their element, which is like, it's like what we've been saying all season about their sibling chat before they're with all the judging panels. Like, I was like, oh, I love this. I would listen to this podcast show. Like, this is really the vibe.
Yeah.
So I appreciate
it. Really
cool.
Yeah.
When
their
did
podcast
Ian
is
start,
great. I like their podcast.
When did Ian start wearing clothes? He used
I
to
think
always just
part
be
of getting
ass
a raise
out.
Was starting to wear clothes. Yeah, he used to be a jockstrap, harness, tiny sock, black glove baby.
Well, now COVID hit us all. You know,
he's taking the gloves off. He's wearing pants and a shirt.
Every time I performed at a Queen Kong, I would always just look forward to seeing Ian's juicy booty. He has a Jew.
He's got a
sea booty.
Fat ass.
Not bigger than mine. It's okay.
She said, I'm verse and this butt don't quit.
No, baby. Sorry, you can't hide this cheek. It's
cool. Now, would you say you have one of those butts that someone's got to really spread open to get to the hole? Is it deep in there, or is your hole more close to the surface?
I feel like it's a happy medium.
You like, heard it there's first. A lot of cheek meat, but the hole's not so deep.
It's not like, it's not like, it's not ooh, God. It's not the Mariana's Trench, I guess it'll say that.
God, it is. Listen, it's hard out here. Imagine. I'm trying to think
imagine
of a scenario.
Imagine having a thick, juicy booty.
And people, like, can't even fuck you because they can't get their dick. Like, if your butt crack eats 4 inches of the dick.
You're done.
You're like, what are you getting?
You need to get, like,
you're getting
another
4 inches.
4 inches, hopefully.
At best.
Hopefully, yeah.
Girl, people also, everyone out here acting like everyone's swinging 8 or 9 inches. Girl, that is not the
case.
I
will say, the best dick I've gotten in my life has not been the biggest.
Of course not.
Because most of the biggest men are just sitting there not doing anything. And I'm like, I need you to put in work. I'm
but
putting in work.
How awful if the only way you could get fucked with someone with like a full foot long meat because you had so much cheek meat to get through.
Well, they make like different like, you know, fun products to use. Like, there's different toys you could use. You could make it work.
You can get into fisting.
If you truly love the man.
And pro tip, I recently fucked a man with a very fat ass. And the way that I was able to access is that I had him lay on his stomach, sort of slightly turn onto his side, lift one leg up, And then I pushed on the top of the cheek, and then I had full hole access.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You figured out that math equation.
I am disgusted.
It was amazing. Because I was like, hole. I was like, I'm only getting half inside of you. You got so much cheek meat.
That's hot.
Cheek meat. Yes, in the new year. Here's hoping. All right. What did you think about these interviews? Saint? The focus was on the fact that she has come back multiple times and that she's representing alternative black queens in the scene. It felt like a really chill interview, but I was kind of waiting for Saint to like
open up,
do something amazing.
It was
and
so
it was
low
just
energy
regular
again.
Degular.
Yeah, regular degular.
But like we know Saint at this point. We know that Saint is the chill vibe and
that
she's
was her
like,
vibe. Yeah.
She looks good. That's just her thing. Like, you know, not every queen is like me and Meatball screaming at the top of our lungs, "Hey everybody, get in the club."
And I'm not expecting every queen to do that. What I am expecting is growth.
Growth?
Growth.
Gross?
Dolly you're saying says growth. Sigourney says that the focus of everybody is on her being an AFAB performer. And
yeah,
she said
there's a lot
AFAB.
Of conversation about that.
And that's what the whole conversation is about, her and her boobs and all that. I don't feel that. Well, that's what she said, her boobs.
What I will say is that I liked what she said where she said, it's not like everyone got together who identifies as an AFAB performer and voted me into this position. She was just basically like, I'm here and I want to do me. And she, girl, when they asked her about her look, she was like, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And that became very clear when she did the floor show because they were like, are you really going to horror it up? Are you really going to filth it up? And she was like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And they were like, okay, you're not getting the crown. That is what I got out of this interview.
Damn. I didn't even think about that.
I thought it was really important
for her to bring that up, though, or then to talk about it, because this is the first time a part of any show that this a person or a performer like Sigourney has made it to the top four.
Right.
And I think that's really important because all drag is valid. Like, literally, like, it doesn't matter who you are. As long as you can represent Philip
Cameron
Horror,
you can be Dragula.
You
know, I don't believe
that.
I believe some drag is invalid.
Like, bad drag.
I love bad drag. Disasteria does it really great. But that's her thing. Like, her thing is, like, it's garish to look at, but it's, like, also done to the nth degree. Like, it's terrible in the best ways. It's like a John Waters film. I love it.
Meatball.
Dolly wants to focus on her leaving the competition during season two.
Wait, Meatball, you have to come back and unpack your statement about some drag that isn't valid.
Yeah, which drag you hate?
Tell
you want
us.
Me to quit?
Saying
you want me
no,
to quit? Just
I'm
tell
not
me.
Gonna say anything. I just think that maybe some drag isn't valid, and that's okay.
That's
but we
yeah.
say
I mean,
all
that's
drag
true.
Is valid.
Nothing
but
is black and white. So.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
So back to Dolly.
Okay. So Dolly
focus on her leaving the competition during season two.
They talked about that, and also being non-binary as you know their identity, and also expressed in their drag being in this top four position. And Dolly makes it very explicit, Meatball.
Yes,
that they don't know why people keep sexualizing them in drag, but that is not the point.
Well, she better stop looking so good.
That is problematic.
She
better stop looking so good.
I'm just kidding. I didn't. Okay, but here, you know, they are right. He's right, and I shouldn't sexualize him when he's in drag. But that's not going to stop me from sexualizing him when he's out of drag.
They're just hot.
He's yeah. hot.
They're hot. They're very
and
hot.
And I'm up in his DMs right now saying, fuck me.
You're up in their DMs right now saying, fuck me.
Let's edit all of this out.
Well, they kept referring to Dolly as he, girl, on the show.
Yeah.
The big
they,
one.
They put, all I saw last night was they. So I think they go by he, they. I'm not here to be the police. I shouldn't have checked you. But
I'm sorry for
I'm
misgendering you, Dolly.
I think it's they. I did it earlier when I think I called her she. So, like, you know, they, she. But damn it, it's complicated out here, but hey, we got a non-binary bitch up in here, and I just want to respect them and their choice.
So Hoso's interview Molly. Focuses on her, you know, her being from South Korea, how much she loves the Dragula brand. They talk about her cancer battle, how she overcame all of that. It sounded like a wild story to out of the blue be told you have stage 3 moving into stage 4 cancer, to have to go through chemo and to use like an escape into Dragula. Watching old episodes of Dragula is like, there's so much like internalized, she's just internalized the show so much. She's a super fan and it means so much to her because of how she experienced it in the time of her life. And she also talks about her filth look is going to be, about the Western gaze on Asian culture, which everyone seemed very excited to see on the pod.
Who do you think had the best interview?
I think Hoso or Dolly.
I think those two had the best interviews. Yes. Yeah.
Girl, because Hoso was in a look and was like really poised and really engaged.
I don't know, because half of them I was like, did y'all know that you were going to record this right here and it was going to be on camera? Because some of them I was like, oh, like Hoso was like, hello?
Hoso was done.
This is a job interview.
Right.
Yeah, it looked great. You know, I'm not saying they all look good, but I was just like, okay, this is
like
a look.
Sigourney was casual.
Sigourney
was casual.
In a sweater, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like there are no rules, right? Just because your boudoir look while you're like doing your, you know, first segment is casual doesn't mean you can't like run over and zhuzh yourself up for the podcast. Like that's part of the challenge.
I also get it because it's also like the end and I'm like, bitch, you lucky I'm alive right now. Right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they're probably so exhausted. Yeah. They're probably up all night doing final touches on their looks.
Alert! 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 Just kidding. There was no alert moment this week.
That's crazy to me. It's like it's been with us all season, and then you're gonna take it away from me.
The alert.
Ooh, yeah, or Baltimore Club.
Bum 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 bum.
Well, alert, alert. Let's take a break. The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay, something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. Okay, we are back. And it's time for the stop all that singing. It's spooky time.
We're back.
It's time for the floor show. But first we see the Boulets in full glam. It's giving Ariani.
Is it giving Arianti? Is it giving Arianti with the
ponytails? And laser
and
lights?
The cape, and then the lasers? And then the shoulders and the nails and the gowns.
I thought they looked great. I wasn't getting Ariana.
What's the top? It's a ponytail,
not pony.
Okay, yeah.
Was that hair giving Ariana? It's also Gia Gunn.
Do you want me to say that she looked like Gia Gunn?
Well, it was giving
yeah.
crazy cuckoo cunt.
Okay,
but their eyelashes were even.
Oh, God. Fuck. I thought they look great. I want to also know what highlighter they're using because I've been obsessed with this the whole season. They always got that little. Like right
yeah,
here on the cheek.
They're giving shimmer and shine.
Can I ask a question? We were all there. They hadn't been using those been using those lasers at all during the other.
They brought it out for the finale, Diva.
But why didn't they bring out? Okay, do you remember when we were there for Barracuda a couple weeks ago
and the pyrotechnics?
And they had fireworks indoors shot at the stage.
Maybe they got those. Maybe because they, I don't know.
Those cost money. You know what they told me? They were like, they wait until a certain number comes through the door. And then they shoot off the pyrotechnics because that's when they can afford it.
Yeah.
So like that's that. Why when we were there, it just happened in the middle of a song with no build. We were just standing right. there.
It came out of nowhere. So
it was fun.
A reminder. The winner will receive $100,000 grand prize. How do you feel about this? How much did you win, bitch?
I won $10,000.
Now, was it taxed or was
it's a personal gift in LA if it's $10,000. So
$100,000 might be taxed.
Of course it'll be taxed, Diva. They'll yeah. be taxed.
So.
So they win 60.
64.
I think it's great. I'm happy that like the prize money has gone up. I wish it was 75 and they took that remainder and stipended it out amongst the competitors because they were coming out of a panini. I know how hard it was for me to source drag when I was just working tip spots left and right to afford what I brought to Dragula. But I can't imagine doing digital shows and getting the call and being like, here you go. Here's this once in a lifetime opportunity. We want your best. And I feel like the looks could have been more great. Like, I think everyone could have used more money to get that extra wig they wanted or to make another garment or hire someone to make a corset that you really needed for the competition. I just wish they kind of given them a little bit of a cushion into it. And then the winner walks away with 75, which is a huge amount of money. That's a life-changing amount of money.
Right. Yeah.
But still, I just still think it would have been...
You're trying to take better. Money out of Dolly's pocket.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I think it would have benefited.
Especially when Dolly and I are going to go on vacation together.
Oh, my God.
With that money.
I love that for you.
Would you be into Dolly if they shave their mustache?
Me?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's rare for you.
He's got to keep the little horns on.
Yeah. I remember when I walked around with my mustache for the first time, and Dipper was like, huh?
I was like, what is that? Is that Instagram filter?
What is this?
They also received a deluxe crown and scepter, courtesy of Fierce Drag Jewels.
Which they cut to Landon's crown, and I have tea that Fierce Drag Jewels didn't finish it in time.
Yeah, they never
did. They didn't get it in time.
Yeah, they don't.
Isn't that what happened to the RuPaul's girls, too?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I don't know what's happening with them. Shout out to them. They make really great work.
Incredible
but I'm excited to see on New Year's what the crown looks like, because that's when I think they get the crown on New Year's Eve.
Oh, word.
Yeah, they're doing a live crowning on New Year's
Eve. If Omicron doesn't take that moment away.
Stop. Well, and then they also get the title of Dragula. Now, this I've always found interesting.
I've won the title of Dragula.
Excuse me?
Yes. You won the bar competition twice. Yeah.
And so... What, tell me about the title, because it's not...
Well, bitch, why don't you talk about it, since you've actually won.
It's not Queen of Dragula, it's not Dragula winner, it is the title of Dragula.
Yeah, you are the Dragula.
Yeah, you are Dragula.
And that's a monster?
Yeah, you're a super monster, you are the one that's above the rest, that's how I look at it.
But they refer to you...
Grammar and horror.
But they refer to you as...
If I get introduced to a show, it's winner of season 2 of Dragula. That's how I usually get introduced.
They don't say, welcome to the stage, Dragula.
Right. This is why I'm interested. Is the title Dragula? Is the title winner of Dragula America's Next Drag Super Monster? Or Next Drag Super Monster?
The world's next super monster.
Yeah, it's the world's.
None of you are answering me.
You're not asking a straight question.
Grammatically, what does it mean? Is it a name? Is it an adjective?
It's a title.
It's a concept.
It's if I won Miss Universe, it's Dragula. I won Dragula. It's just the same.
No,
it's the same shit.
Oh, but see? You're not answering it.
See?
Do we call you when you were the title holder of
When you
Dragula?
Pick up your phone, so you that's say, what hello, say,
I'm Dragula. Dragula.
No, it's not.
It's season 2's Dragula.
I want to specify because there's multiple seasons. And also, it's a winner's
Dipper,
circle. So there's not like
IV
a, there's
bitch.
Not like a get up.
This is why I ask. If you were if you're a doctor, you say your name and then it says comma MD.
Yeah,
like,
I put that on my flight when I go book a flight at
Landon
Delta. I put Dragula,
Snyder, comma Dragula. Is it a degree that you earn? And here's the thing: if Meatball won that title, and we all know Astrid Aurelia won Dragula World, she won a title.
So, but she's Dragula World.
Let's move on.
It's on all my shit. Like I when I like sign
comma
up on emails,
Dragula?
It's,
comma
it's
Dragula.
Comma Dragula. Winner of Dragula season two.
Season two. Dragula
season two.
See that
winner
makes
of
sense.
Season two.
Meatball,
but
remember?
You earn the title of Dragula. I like to specify because there's multiple seasons.
Didn't we have to put the Dragula logo on all your bookings for a while, Meatball?
Yes, that was in the contract.
Why is Vanessa Hudgens not back for this finale?
Because she's so into blood.
She's so done with blood right now. She had to go film the Christmas Princess 4.
Another thing, like, there's no step down either with the title. Like, if you win, you win. You, like, reign forever. There's no, like, traditional step down like in other competition shows. It's like you literally are a winner forever. That's, like, kind of how they pitch it.
And you also were a winner with no one new winning for the longest out of
like 2 years.
And then also, technically, I was the reigning queen, and I don't know how Dolly identifies, so does that make me the reigning queen? I don't know.
Oh,
so
you're a queen. And Landon's the reigning king. And Dolly is the reigning monster.
Yeah, I have no idea.
The reigning Dragula.
It's all like
is
in the
Dragula.
Circle. It's like everyone's
and Dolly
you win,
is Dragula.
Like, yeah, there's no step down.
Well, we've already ruined it for anyone who is listening, but let's get into it. So they start, I'm just kidding, they start, we gave it away! Dolly wins!
Dolly!
Oh my god. We start with the glamour category where they do the lip sync. So Sigourney is in like a big blonde beehive in a glittery dress that has like sequin blood on it. Hoso is in a Korean gown and hat with a long cigarette holder, and they refer to her beat as being a soft beat for Hoso. Dolly is in a red look that earlier they talk about it being the same color as their HIV meds, a top hat. It's like a pencil skirt or a mermaid skirt with big sort of pageanty jewels. And Saint is in a black sequin dress that has like red details with like almost like a red face applique and a red eye. That's what we're looking at here.
We can just move on.
Oh.
What? Okay, wait. First, I want to address something. It was so confusing. Wasn't it how they were saying it's going to end on a glamour lip sync? It'll end on glamour. Glamour, glamour, glamour. And traditionally ends on horror. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then as soon as the floor show starts, it starts with glamour. And actually
I didn't
ends
really
on filth. Which I thought was really weird. It, like in the whole like interview process of the podcast, that was brought up a lot, and I was like so confused when that happened. So you were
maybe
not
they
impressed
thought
by
the
any
lip syncs were going to be a bigger deal,
yeah.
And then they were like, oh,
yeah. So like when I see a queen lip sync, I'm like moved. I'm like living. I'm like into it.
Mm-hmm.
But
if
maybe it's because I'm more familiar with the music when that happens. But I'm just like, when I saw this, I was like, was this boring?
Yeah, that was, I think it was boring.
Dolly, I needed nails. I needed claws and metal talons. Oh. I needed something on the fingers. I just needed either gloves or something to elevate it. I also wish the skirt came up higher to the waist. But I really love the jewels. Those were the fiercest jewels on the finale. Like that color, that oxblood was really gorgeous. I think the Saint's gown swallowed her, but she had the best hair. Like her hair
was
the finale.
Yeah.
Sigourney, I wish she switched with her crowning look for glamour.
Oh,
like,
iPad.
And I wish her.
You both an eye patch.
I wish she had a huge like cape that kind of hit everything, and then she snatched it, and it was just like drama, and like that to me looked really cool. And with the lasers on the mirrors, it would have bounced off and looked really
fucking
cool.
Yeah, the crowning
cool.
look was way cuntier.
Yeah, and then Hoso, it was stunning. I know it was softer makeup, but I wish it was just. I wish. Because we've seen Hoso's iconic beat every episode.
Right.
Like, I've seen it very rarely. Like, even on the acting challenge, it was very iconically Hoso because she was the possessed one.
Right.
So, like, I think for this, I would have loved to see, like, a complete, like,
oh my God, that's a different human being. Yeah, I just, right. Like, I wish it was pushed a little bit more, but I love the outfit.
And that brings up an interesting point, because on a lot of competition shows, when you do move away from your standard branded iconic look, you're celebrated for sort of taking one time to fall in line with everyone else, but it isn't really true to who you are. And what I feel like happened in this finale is that, like, Sigourney was like, I'm doing me, so I'm going to do glamour the whole time. Hoso was like, I'm doing me, so I'm going to do... Like, everyone really stuck to their guns.
Yeah.
So no one was necessarily celebrated for, like, surprising or taking a risk.
I just think, like, a surprise is such a...
It's a gag.
You want in the finale. You want it. You want to stick out in every moment you can. And, like, everyone did in their own way in this finale. But I just wish that, like... They love to be gagged. They love to be surprised. The boys really don't want to see something coming. They want to be hit by a Mack truck blinded, and that's when they really get their rocks off.
She even said that. She was like, why isn't there a car full of jewels for Sigourney's glamour? She wants a Mack truck. Meatball, tell us about Horror.
Horror was Dolly, a priest turned into a zombie creature. Saint was the tooth fairy and some biscuit heels. Okay, shady. Sigourney is a lime green hair scientist with peeling skin, and Hoso is a multi-headed cancer patient reading from their chemo diary.
It's not shady. She was wearing that biscuit heel they told her to stop wearing.
Yeah, she was. And again, I think Dolly's horror look was great. This was definitely one of the most terrifying.
Full body makeup. I didn't realize until later, when they were shirtless with all their tattoos, that makeup had been full body.
Yeah.
Like that was airbrushed, like whatever. That was crazy. To me, the Saint look could have been an ultimate horror character, like in a horror film, like the fucking scary tooth fairy
that doesn't pick up
teeth when they're lost, but rips them out and tortures and all that, with all that detail. But you can't see that on a stage. You can't see that when it's so small. That's for, like, cinema, you know what I mean? It felt really small, really detailed, but small.
Yeah, I wish they added more wings. Like, yes. I wanted, like, so many of those wings, because, like, when they did the details, like, those are cool, but I want them, like, because they are so tiny in juxtaposition to their body. I wish there was just a lot more of those wings. And then I wish, characteristically, I wish they were tiptoeing, like, to go, you know, maybe there's a bed that, like, she crawls out under. Like, I just thought, like, maybe some set dressing to establish the environment of the Tooth Fairy would have been cool.
Right.
Dolly, I know we just talked about it, but, like, I wanted nails again. Like, just to extend, like, the ghoulish attributes that she was doing with her, they were doing with their hands. Like, clear white ones, or, like, ones that could show, like, filth and grime that they've been clawing their way through religious bullshit. And I wish the contouring of the body, I love the makeup, but I wanted to change the shape of the body. Kind of how sometimes how Victoria will, like, really contour the shit out of her fucking body. Because I wanted, like, more hollowness or, like, something, because it was so much of the skin. Like, I love the makeup, but I felt like it could be pushed a little bit more.
Wow.
Just because that was, to me, like, and also, like, presentation wise for that one, I was like, a bishop, okay, and then now we're naked. Like, it was like there was no there was no build up for that one, that category for Dolly. That was me. But what about Sigourney?
I thought that was a great concept. It has been done before, and they admitted to that.
This was a chop.
I thought it was cute.
Them little dollar store beakers.
Props.
This was not it for me. This was as glamorous as the glamour look. Like, this wasn't horror. This wasn't scary. It felt like cartoon. It felt like a Powerpuff Girls villain.
With a little Dexter's Labby.
Yes, this was not it for me at all. And I was disappointed, because I was like, all they've been telling you is fuck it up, sis. And this was disappointing to me. Which is the way you pronounce that word.
Especially.
when especially once she presented her filth. Because I was like, this is the same idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I need a different hair.
I thought the hair was good.
The hair was great.
She
looks not
stunning. Are you kidding? Of course. She always looks so good.
The hair was done. I wanted a reveal then. Show me that you're balding. Show me that the skin's coming off your head and it's bleeding. I want that.
Take the glasses off and your eyes are bleeding.
Yeah, and then like be like, oh god, then like, you know, then reveal the jacket and then a sexy body, but you're burlesque, so like maybe strip down to your burlesque thing and then you realize the skin's peeling
skin
and then
off?
Skin peels off. That's the thing I wanted. I wanted it pushed more. I just was like, I love where they were going. It just was like, ooh,
oh,
let
wait,
me pull you up 30
peel
more
her
percent.
Face off. Was that this one? She
no,
peeled her
that
face
was
off
the
in
next
two of them.
One,
no,
girl.
No, she did. She peeled her face off for this one. The next one was pimple popping. It was too
but
similar.
But it was the same
thing.
It was too similar.
That's why I said if she ripped off her skin, you wouldn't even be thinking of that.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
But she led with her skin on her face. She could have been ripping off.
But she didn't really rip off skin on, like, I wish she ripped skin off her tits. That would have been iconic. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, a flayed body would have looked so cool. I just think that would have been great. I don't know how you would have done it, but that's where I thought it was going. And because, like, Landon really killed a look like the mad scientist.
Right.
It's hard. Like, I just, you have to, like, if you approach it that way, like, with, like, peeling off the skin, I think it would have separated it a lot more.
Right.
And it would fit it with the burlesque troupe, which is true to them, and that's horrific. Like, what's more gaggy than ripping off your skin? You know, like.
Yeah.
Well, what's gaggier is that we're going to take a break before we talk about filth. How about that for a gag?
We didn't even talk about Hoso. We love that.
Oh, my bad. Let's talk about
Hoso, I thought was really good, really creative. We have seen the multi-head thing before, but that is something that Hoso does do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of known for. I will say that, like, it was a very powerful and moving piece and, like, performance. But because it's compared to, like, Dolly doing the stripping and then Saint being the tooth fairy, it just seems smaller because the only prop was just like a notebook,
which it's hard in the finale because, like, especially as an actor, like for me when I was approaching it, I was acting asking
oh, she's an actor.
Audio well I was bitch if I could do audio cues to set up the character or what I'm doing or just enhance it. And I heard about this, and then when they were talking about we're going to read from the journal, I'm like, are we going to hear that? Because then it's going to hit differently. So it's just like, I don't know if that's a precedent now, since that was like an opportunity that, like, that's just not how horror is done as, like, you know, basically a montage. And it's hard because it's so personal and it was so raw. I love the look. And it's just because of the audio, it's just like, I think you lose the humanity of it, and that's what really makes it terrifying, because it's something real, and I think that's more scary than anything is something that's, like, tangible instead of something more fantasy. Mm-hmm. And then, but, like, I think it could have been a little push more with, like, if they were, like, filled with, like, fluid, like if they had like 10 of the IV bags behind them and there was all, like, going in and it was just like, you know,
yeah, there could have, like, just, like, been more,
like, more with that, but that's like,
but this is also hard to judge
so
and give
personal.
Notes on because it's such a personal experience.
Yeah, and like, shit.
Yeah,
I mean, I've faced death before, like with myocarditis, but like that wasn't cancer. That wasn't so, like, you know, it's a whole nother thing. But like, literally, like, that's so personal, and I just want to praise Hoso for sharing that in a really beautiful
way. Yeah. All right, now we're gonna go to break.
Ba-da-doot.
And now we're back from break.
Yeah, we're scary. So let's get into the filth of it all. This to me was such a serve. Saint, the scat queen, eating kitter litter duty right in front of everybody. This I loved. Sigourney popping these mucus-filled zits and barnacles on her face and body, like we just mentioned. Hoso, yet another very conceptual and awesome piece, was basically the embodiment of racist Asian stereotypes, eventually serving dog meat on a platter. And Dali played out this whole scenario of autoerotic asphyxiation.
Or meatball.
And then eventually jerking off a confetti popper. So this got you hot, Meatball?
No, I appreciate their commitment to the craft.
Trash. What did you think about these? I live for Saint. Saint's look was so good. The concept was, to me, surprising that Saint would do that.
Yeah.
I
thought you were going to kill the cat.
But you thought it was a little small? To do
this cat?
I love their concepts. I loved how it was like, the look was the best look of the finale for me when it came to Saint. Like, literally, that look was so cool. It made a nod back to her resurrection vampire, where it was very, like, almost 60s, and I really fucking loved that, and I thought she looked so good. What threw me off was the chocolate syrup. Like, when I could clock that, and it wasn't clumpy on the face, that took me away. When I could tell that it was something, I could tell what it was made of, it ruined the illusion of me of her actually eating cat shit. That's the thing. And I also like wish she was a crazy cat lady. Like, maybe she revealed that, like, she killed all the cats and they're on her body or something, you know, like she revealed from that into something. I just wanted to push it in another way, but I thought it was gross. I just wish it wasn't, I couldn't clock
so the, clean.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Sigourney again, it was just more face popping.
And then, I thought it was interesting.
It looked
that it
gorgeous,
was similar.
But it was just like a revenge robe and a zit.
This glamour was bomb.
Yes.
To me,
she should have rethought the horror and gone with this for filth, because I felt like this was
or
true
glamour.
To her. It
glamour,
was
yeah.
glamour, but this was also filthy. The horror, girl, something else.
Yeah, they should have ripped off their whole skin for that. But, like, I thought the look was so fucking bomb. That was
oh
so
my God.
Glamorous shit. That was body, audio. That was fucking fierce.
It was great. I loved Hoso? It. I would wear that. Hoso, the racist Asian stereotype, serving the dog meat on a platter. That got me, gal.
It got me, too. The only thing I wish... It's hard because I don't know how it was edited or I don't know how they presented it. But... when it started, I felt like they, like, ran on stage and they, like, had their thing open with the word across their chest. I feel like if they came out and that was hidden and then they did all that stuff and at the end they revealed to that, that's the button that really drives it home, you know? Like, it just felt like we got all the things so fast and I was, like, had to be like, what? And then... unlike Dali, who presented it in, like, a gradual way where you didn't know where it was going. And it was more of a... it's hard because, like, I really think Hoso killed that. It's just, I think they kind of blew their load right away really fast.
Oh, blew their load. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did feel like sort of 0-60 and then, like, high energy the entire time. Like, there wasn't a build. But it was really impactful.
It was really impactful. I think that was such a brilliant way to approach the category because, to me... filth is the hardest category.
Yeah, of course.
Filth is the hardest category. Like, it's something that you can't, like, especially with people who have done stuff in the past that have eaten stuff, it's hard to recreate that and make that filthy. So approaching something in this way where it's just embracing shit that's, like trauma and presenting it in a fucking awesome performance art way, that was fucking rad.
And then we get to Dali, who really revolutionized the category because it was... it wasn't about mess, it wasn't about eating, it was psychological, it was like skin crawly sort of filth. I have a question, because once we got to the shadow work play when the jerking off was happening,
baby.
I was like, that tube doesn't look anything like a dick, you know what I mean?
No. All they needed to do was cut out a little piece of cardboard to make it look like a penis head and tape it to the front.
That really took me out of it. I would have preferred it to be, if there was like some weird thing with like censorship, I would have preferred it to be like a tent inside pants. You know what I mean? Rather than like just the cylindrical dick of it all was challenging.
Yeah. I think that was like, I don't know. I also don't know if you can show like a cock silhouette like that. You
I
know,
think
like
yes,
and then exactly. and the curtain was very see through. Like it wasn't very like it was very thin. Like it wasn't like perfect for doing a shadow shot.
Right, because
it was like I could see like the color behind it. Like I could see like that.
I thought it was great, Dolly. I thought everything you did was wonderful.
It was good. I really loved it. I loved how it was a story, and I love how Dolly told a story. Like. Dolly and Hoso really told stories, I felt, with their performances in this finale in terms of, like, Dolly doing, like, you know, it was red look for glamour, but they swallowed the pill that they have to do every day fighting the stigma and making it glamorous to take a pill and not be unabashful about being, like, you know, undetectable.
Yeah.
And undetectable means undetectable, you know? And then, like, you know, with this, like, it was, like, a presentation of, like, you know... You didn't know where it was going. You saw the thing in the back, but you're like, what? And they're being creepy. Then they're like, it's a gag, them clowning and pulling out all these, like, basically cum rags.
It was
just
the most thought through performance out of all of them. It had, even though it seemed like it was, like, a lot of gags, some of them didn't have any gags at all during there. So it's just, like, it upped the level. So then the Boulets... They get into their sibling chat. They're saying the same things that we're saying, basically.
Yeah, they go through each and every one. They give their opinion.
And then just say the same thing over and over and over.
Essentially, what they do come down to at the end of it is they say, they basically say they love all of these four top monsters.
They love these four tops.
For any of them to represent the brand. But that leads them to this conversation of, we don't need anyone to carry the torch. What do they say? They say, I mean, we know at this point the two best people to represent this brand is us.
Then they high five. But, you know, at the, like, two people who are truly in love, it was also weird that they, like, called her the sister.
Wait, aren't they brothers?
Well, that's what I'm about to get to. They called him. She was like, you're my sister in crime. But then I was like, but you're the Boulet brothers. But in real life, you're a...
Girl, gender is a construct. Tear it apart.
Tear it apart! Tear it apart!
I need to know what they think they are. Okay.
You're tearing me apart!
So, also, my question production-wise, just out of curiosity, why'd they keep those empty judges' chairs next to them in the wide shot while they were judges?
I'm not sure.
They reminded me that there were no guest judges.
They should have put skeletons there. I mean, like, we had guest judges, but we killed them. And then got, like, you know, or something. I don't know. I didn't even notice that until you said something.
They should have put those go-go boys from that Mary Cherry episode.
But
I was there when I mopped that up.
Yes, you were there. Yeah, you were the strip club. I am the strip club. Well, listen. It's
time to crown the winner, baby.
Speaking of strippers, you're a winner, baby.
You're winner, baby.
The crowning looks. Okay, for me, seeing Saint in this look, I was like, what?
Yeah,
what if?
It didn't make sense.
What if that was her glamour? She came out as a fucking glamorous stripper. And that her crowning look was her glam look.
Yeah, that would have worked.
And she presented glamour as like being a glamorous. Because I saw that. I was like, this body, I love the hair, I love the makeup. And I was like, what if that was? It just got me thinking. I was like, I thought
was.
It was great.
Saint looked incredible for the crowning.
Yeah.
Dolly felt like 100% themselves.
Yeah. Evolved. Like, it was like their form where they're going with their art. Yeah.
Fucking Sigourney with the eye patch.
Bomb.
That's
bomb.
A bitch pudding look.
That's I was like, oh, was bitch kind. Down. That was so kind.
She served. And then... No shade, but Hoso felt like she was like, does anybody have anything I can wear?
Like, I love the wig, robe. The robe was really beautiful.
But the wig? That, to me,
I love
is
the
like,
robe.
That's not a Hoso.
I mean, they're out of looks at this point. I can understand it. Picking up wigs from the corner of the room.
For my crowning, I looked like garbage because I didn't know I had to do
another
look. I was told at like the eighth hour of shooting. Also, I heard that they had 2 days to film this.
That makes sense. There's no way Dolly could have done the full body airbrush makeup.
I did. I had an hour. I did blue to normal color with the filth janitor to horror and then this. But I'm glad they gave them more time because that
in the future
gives you more opportunity.
Gonna help.
That's going to help. I'm so glad they gave them more time and I think it was worth it.
Yeah. And they even said that like these girls, they didn't have it the easiest, but they definitely had it easier than the rest of us. You know what I mean?
So, who wants to do the honors? Who is?
I'll do it for my sweet baby Dolly.
And season two fellow alumni.
Our winner is Dolly!
Dolly!
Yay!
I'm so happy!
They get drenched with blood, as is told.
I like the flowers. The flowers looked cool.
They had to hand them something since they didn't have a scepter or a crown.
Like for their look, it looked like they were like a shaman. I was feeling it. I think it really completed like the whole fantasy for me with the flowers.
It made sense for sure.
Yeah.
And so I always think about production. So they did. My assumption is they shot four endings, but maybe they only shot two, and two of those queens knew that they didn't win.
Every one of them got poured.
Everyone gets their moment to feel like a winner.
So they shot four endings. And in my mind, you would have to do it multiple ways. You have to shoot all the like the winning and the walking up, and then you have to go back, and then you have to have four bouquets of flowers that look identical so that they can all get blood on them for the first time. Like, that's a whole bunch of shit to do to pour blood on them like that.
Oh, yeah. That was probably the second day was probably just that in one look.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so look
we
at that.
We made it to the end. Our sweet baby Dolly won.
Woo! Season two reigns supreme, baby.
Congratulations.
So overall thoughts on season four before we wrap up here?
I thought it was a good season. I can't wait to see what happens with season five. Hopefully the restraints of COVID will not have its fingerprints all over the season.
Which I think it's like affected a lot of reality shows. Yeah, I thought this was really fun in a romp. For any future advice for people going to compete on the show, I will say this, like, attack someone for their drag. I rather see that in terms of drama instead of like you go for petty stuff. But like, I understand it can get into thickness, but like, destroy someone on their drag. And that
not their
like,
personality? What if you just don't like their personality?
Well, then,
it's hard. It doesn't, as Coco so eloquently stated, you weren't featuring her and she wasn't featuring you. It doesn't mean anything. If you just don't like someone, right. It doesn't turn into anything.
Right. And it only paints you longer. And I think in the long run, like, I just don't know. Like, I think you should really go. And if you bump heads with somebody, try to work through it because it shows your. I don't know. It's hard.
Also, be entertaining when you fight.
Yeah. If you're going to fight, give us Mary Cherry.
Yeah, iconic. Zavaleta, iconic.
Yes!
Coco,
iconic.
This season was so fun. Like, a round of applause to you fucking undead hookers making it through. That was really great. Thank you for giving us entertaining content. And congrats on season five.
And always, in this competition, have one person there to check you. Let them know from the first episode. Just be like, if it seems like I'm going a little too far, maybe squeeze my wrist three times and let me know, like, sit down, shut
up. Reality TV safe word.
Yeah.
But also, I will say this. What you do in that first episode really arcs your story the whole show. Like, that first boudoir is so important. So, like, literally, like, don't hold back.
So, definitely do an Abora and use a fight.
Yeah.
Do an Abora and you fight.
Unplanned and unrehearsed.
Well, I'm excited.
You are not a monster.
When I look at you, I do not see monster.
My favorite is Kendra. Is like, no, James is like wearing a Beyonce costume. And I'm like, well, look where the queen is now, baby.
Where is she?
Majesty is in Portland, living the life.
Yes, bitch.
Yeah.
So.
They look really good.
I am excited for the possibility. I know Meatball is not, but I'll just say it. I'm excited for the possibility that very soon the back catalog of Dragula will be on Shudder, which may include season one, and maybe we can go back and look at
the icon, the legend. Yeah.
Loras.
Yeah.
The icon and the legend.
I have to go get a COVID test. Thank you all so much. Not Loras.
Goodbye.
Not tonight.
Goodbye.
Bye, y'all. Smell you later.
A special thanks to our guest.
Thanks to our guest, Bitch Puddin'. It was awful to see you. And thank you so much to listening to Spussy Seconds.
God, fuck.
Do-do-do-do forever. Dog.
To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.